Each weekday morning, Monday through Friday at this time, the National Broadcasting Company presents Helen Hyatt and her report of the news of the day. Miss Hyatt.
Good morning. You know the headline news already. Your radio will have told you that there is war in the Pacific. Just a few minutes ago, Prime Minister Churchill declared war on the part of Great Britain. A late bulletin that has come in since then says that the Chinese foreign minister has said that China has decided to declare war against Germany and Italy, as well as Japan. The Chongqing regime has never really made a formal declaration of war against Japan in the 4 years of their fighting. We learned earlier that Mayor LaGuardia is heading for the West Coast, and now a late bulletin comes in to say that Mrs. Franklin D. Roosevelt, the wife of our president, is leaving for the Pacific Coast by airplane tonight to assist there in emergency civilian defense work. In the battle in the Pacific, our initial losses appear to have been very heavy, both in the loss of ships and in the loss of men. The war has spread very quickly. It has spread, apparently, according to a plan which Japan and her Axis partners elaborated, and not only elaborated, but began to carry out days ago. Many days ago, while polite, poker-faced Japanese envoys still pretended to talk peace in Washington. The Japanese envoys timed their note presentation to Secretary Hull yesterday, timed it to coincide with news of the attack on Pearl Harbor. They were even 20 minutes late. Late, perhaps, to be sure that the attack was well underway and would be a surprise before they gave us any official indication of Japanese intentions. It's far too early at this hour to give even the beginning of a complete picture of what is going on. Bulletins are ticking off the wires almost faster than one can read them. Two or three American battleships, and we have 15 battleships, and an aircraft tender are reported to be destroyed. There's no official confirmation of this yet, but there probably will be none, because it would be foolhardy to let Japan know exactly what damage she has caused. A late bulletin, which has picked up a Japanese radio broadcast, says that Japan has identified the two battleships sunk as the 29,000-ton Oklahoma and the 32,000-ton West Virginia. At the present moment, as we can see the war situation in the Far East, Japanese imperial forces are in action on these fronts. One, a major naval battle is reported west of Hawaii. The American fleet, which was blasted in Pearl Harbor Naval Base and in Honolulu yesterday, is now attempting to destroy enemy warships and airplanes, the same that struck at them in Pearl Harbor. Two, a fierce land battle is in progress on the northeast coast of the Malaya States. British defense forces have been attacked by Japanese troops. The Japanese troops, some 30,000 of them in 60 vessels, succeeded in landing on the beaches there, despite very severe air bombing and machine gun fire from the land defenses. These Japanese, in their 60 vessels, were escorted by warships and are believed to have succeeded in making a landing on the Malayan coast. Three, Japanese invasion forces have bombed and shelled Bangkok, the capital of Thailand. They have crashed into Thailand by land and sea, and at latest reports, it is said that the Thailand government has been forced to capitulate. The occupation of Thailand would open the way for Japanese drives on Burma, and the Burma Road, the supply route to China, would also set up a base for a drive southward against Singapore. Four, we know that waves of Japanese bombers have battered northern, central, and southern areas of the Philippine Islands. First reports coming in say that they have caused several hundred casualties. Five, we know that the Great British Naval Base at Singapore has been attacked from the air. First reports say that some 60 persons were killed and far more than 100 injured. Six, and this is the first news of a Japanese reversal, there's a report that a Japanese landing in British Borneo was repulsed with very heavy casualties. We learn, seven, that the American island of Guam has been attacked from all sides and that an aerial bombardment has started several big fires there. There's a report that our island of Guam is under Japanese siege. Also a report that the Pan American Airways fuel tanks there and their hotel is afire, is blazing. Another report, also not confirmed, says that our base at Guam was very badly hit. One report says that it was virtually destroyed. We know that Australia and the Dutch East Indies have joined in the war on Japan. Also that Britain has declared war on Japan, as I said just a moment ago. Our Navy is pressing a huge-scale naval and air battle against Japan in the Pacific today. There is no detail of this American action in the Pacific. We only know that our Navy is striking back with all the forces at its command. Naval officials are awaiting reports as to what action the Russians are going to take in the Far East. Already, the declaration of war with the Dutch East Indies assures the American Navy of additional fueling bases in the Southern Pacific and gives us strong reinforcements, such as naval units and what is reported to be a strong Dutch submarine and air force. Now, the British declaration of war automatically opens the world's largest naval base at Singapore for American fleet units. We don't know yet what the Russians will do, but their action can be very important. Vladivostok is strategically situated, and it's estimated that the Russians have upwards of 100 submarines based there, ready for action. The pattern of developments from now on is, of course, not clear. The one discussed is blockade of Japan, that our Navy with the British will attempt to make effective at once. We're told that it will probably not be a blockade in the old technical sense, but there will be no stationing of ships right off Japanese ports. Instead, it will be a blockade of a much larger scale as we try to bring Japan to her knees by cutting off all her supplies. The first American prisoners in the war in the Pacific are the United States Marines of the Peiping and Tientsin garrisons in China. We've also just had news of the first American casualty identification in the Battle of the Pacific. Mr. and Mrs. Peter Christensen have been in Woodland, California, have been notified by the Navy Department that their son, First Lieutenant Hans Christensen, was killed in action at Pearl Harbor yesterday. Christensen was in the aviation branch of the United States Marines. Naturally, news of fighting on other fronts is dwarfed this morning by news of fighting in the Pacific. In Russia, winter has tightened its grip on the whole Moscow front. The Nazis explained that this bitter cold is making operations very difficult. However, the Russians say they've won new successes there, checking temporary Nazi breakthroughs on the Moscow front, that the Red Army has checked the Nazis in striking swift, well-calculated blows. The Moscow broadcast this morning say that the Nazis have evaded encirclement by abandoning their guns and equipment, said that they ran so quickly that Russian scouts could not overtake them. Of course, as I explained a moment ago, the new importance of the Russian campaign now is what they will be able to do and what they will do against Japan. As to the fighting in Libya, all we know this morning is that a massive new tank battle is raging across the Libyan sand south of Tobruk today. It's been going on since Saturday noon. When it got underway, the British claimed to be making some gains. Many Cairo observers this morning think that this new tank battle is a potentially decisive struggle between Rommel's remaining units and the British forces. There was some action in aerial warfare in the west last night, too. And in the dark hours of this morning, when the RAF raided Germany, their chief objective was Aachen in Germany. On the home front, civil defense organization. On the home front, civil defense organization is being organized on a wartime basis. We're seeing a roundup of aliens, and an unlimited emergency is being declared in many states. Peace is being strengthened on America's vital labor front, too. This is important news as the nation rises to meet Japan. An independent welders union has canceled plans for a nationwide walkout, which had been set for tomorrow. Officials said that it was the union's answer to the Japanese attack in the Pacific. Also, a final settlement of the captive coal mines dispute seems to give further promise that the nation's production will not be hampered very much by labor trouble. We learned from Washington that federal workers may soon be called upon to work 44 hours a week. A high administration official says he expects President Roosevelt to order such action very shortly. Two late bulletins that have just reached me are these. One, the New York Stock Exchange dropped at today's opening. It was an orderly retreat at the start. We also learned from London that the war in the Far East has brought a very sharp reaction on the London Stock Exchange. Japanese bonds were almost unsaleable today. The market scaled down on everything with a Far Eastern angle, including rubber shares. Another bulletin from New York says the New York Stock Exchange has suspended all dealings in Japanese bonds pending what was called an investigation of their status. Well, today with this news, we understand more than at any time so far during the emergency the importance of civilian defense. I've told you it's being put on a wartime basis nearly all over the country. As it is put on that wartime basis, we also see the important role of women in that defense. a documentary film about women in defense, will be on cinema screens this week to guide us, to guide all American women who want to know what they can do. This documentary film will be read by Katharine Hepburn. The script has been written by Mrs. Roosevelt, and the theme is, Yesterday, the Pioneer Woman Helped to Win a Continent. Today, with the same spirit of determination, American women are working to save our way of life. We've said before many of the things that women can do. I can review them briefly to you. There are many things that every American woman should be thinking of doing this morning if she isn't already. Women are working and are needed in our munitions factories. They are needed in nutrition classes. They are needed in our laboratories. They are needed in our volunteer services. They are needed in Red Cross. If you can't do anything else, you can at least give blood to the nation's blood bank, medical science's newest weapon against defense. And here's a new and timely way to help our national defense. All greeting card publishers are sponsoring the sale and distribution of defense stamp Christmas cards. Despite the war, you'll want to send Christmas cards. Well, why not send Christmas cards, these defense savings Christmas cards? You can buy them for 5 cents and include in them a defense stamp album. We are urged to include at least one 10-cent defense stamp in the album that we send with each Christmas card, but of course, the actual amount of stamps which you put into the albums is less important than the fact that we must all right now get the habit of defense saving. And so, it's war. As the fact dawned on me yesterday, I found myself recalling very clearly that other Sunday in Paris on September 3rd, 1939. The Blitz tactics were exactly the same. Then it was attack on Poland, as it was attack on us yesterday, before a declaration of war. It was attack on a mass scale. It was attack on an early Sunday morning when many men were perhaps on leave. The initial damage to our forces in the Far East, as I said, was very heavy. Dispatches are already suggesting, and I quote, are suggesting that somebody will have to explain why a substantial part of our Pacific fleet was found in the narrow, congested waters of Pearl Harbor when the enemy arrived, and will have to explain why, I'm still quoting, why a surprise attack caught the United States air arm on the ground. These are very familiar words, I can assure you. I heard those same words from Poland when the enemy struck without warning and crippled important air bases before the Poles knew what was happening. I heard those words again in France in May 1940 when the very same thing occurred. I have heard them in every country where the Blitz has struck. I have heard them from people who saw exactly the same thing happening elsewhere, but people who did not wake up to the fact that they, too, might soon be victims of the same thing. We all agree this morning that parallels of this kind have gone far enough. They came at the initial stage. We are not going to let them go any further. Many people will doubtless be relieved when the declaration of war does come at last. For in the past 2 years, we have lived in an atmosphere of uncertainty. We haven't quite known what was expected of us. This uncertainty has bred unhappiness among many people, has bred anxiety, even fear. But today the issue is clear. We have a job to do. It will not be an easy job or a quick job, and we must do the job well. And so, fear is replaced by determination, by the unity of action toward a single goal. Fear must be replaced by this determined unity of action, because, as we know, the basis of morale is the absence of fear. Perhaps the thing we feared most was the certainty that the future was uncertain. But now there is an element of certainty, at least in the future. That is what we all agree on and will agree on. We know we have a war to win. So let us banish fear. Let us each try to recreate in ourselves the spirit of our American pioneers, a spirit which made life an adventure, a spirit in which danger bred not fear, but determination, a spirit which made each individual American conscious of the individual role he had to play. We know from our own national history that this is the spirit which wins.
Helen Hyatt will be heard tomorrow morning at this same time in another in her series of Today's News. This is the Blue Network of the National Broadcasting Company.
Mm-hmm.